Father, thank you so much for all that you provide and for an opportunity in this country to celebrate a day of giving thanks, a day to give thanks to you, not just for 5 minutes, but the whole day. We need to have a mind of thankfulness and appreciation and praise and glory to you, recognizing that you are the one who has given us everything and so much more. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand the importance of giving thanks, honor, and praise to you. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears that we might hear. We would not be hardened, but that you will soften our hearts, mold our mind, our understanding, and our appreciation for who you are and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're coming up on a holiday that nowadays is more or less a signpost for Christmas, isn't it? Thanksgiving comes. I don't know if Santa Claus is coming this year or not in Macy's Day Parade, but anyways, that's usually what it is. We're thinking of a turkey dinner on Thanksgiving Day, football, and that's about it. And then after that, it's what? Chop, chop, chop till you drop, getting ready for Christmas. But Thanksgiving should be a whole lot more than that. It is rooted in Scripture. Giving thanks is rooted in Scripture, for throughout the book of God's Word, we are reminded that we need to give humble gratitude for what we have and for who God is and all that he provides, because he is the only one that is ultimately, as I told the kids, ultimately the one who provides us with everything that we have, not only material blessings, but also our brains, our smarts, our intelligence, our wisdom, our skill, the ability to work, the ability to make money, the ability to help our neighbors, whatever it may be. It's just not all material stuff. It is also far beyond that as well. He's also the one that gives us hope. We definitely need hope in our world, hope in our country. God is the one that offers hope because he doesn't change, and he is in charge and in control of all things. Giving thanks to God, I don't think, comes naturally, does it? The first time your kids ever receive something, did they automatically just say, "Thank you"? Now, it might be an exception, I don't know, but how do they know to give thanks when someone does something kind for them or gives them a gift? Parents, tell them. What do you say? Thank you, right? I mean, that's how it's developed. Parents need, at a very early age, to begin to consistently teach their children to express thanks and gratitude for acts of kindness, for gifts given at birthdays, holidays, or whatever it may be, and just acts of being courteous, you know, toward you to express that thanks. So it needs to begin at an early age, and they need to be reminded that we're not only thanking that individual, but ultimately God, who enables that person to be able to be the one that gives. Begin the day with thanksgiving, as I told the kids. End the day with thanksgiving. That should become a habit of all of ours, beginning and end, giving thanks, because it keeps our mind and our attitude focused on God, not ourselves. Because ultimately, we are giving thanks not to human beings, but to God. Both, but ultimately to the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. People failed to give thanks to God. They failed to honor him and glorify him and recognize him as God. So it wasn't just a matter of, oh, forgot to give thanks today and yesterday and last month and all year. It was more than that. It was, we don't really even care to acknowledge him. We'll just ignore him. We'll go on with our life. We've got everything we need. Everything's going fine. Who needs God? And so he is ignored, and therefore, thanks is not given to him. Today, the focus or the worldview of so many people, and it is taught over and over again on all sorts of media, is that the world and the universe was not created, but it just happened by chance, correct? So if everything happened by natural processes, there was no purpose for anything. Therefore, there is no one to give thanks to for who provides everything that we have because it just happened by chance. There is no God to say thank you to. We just say thank you to man for eking out those things that we have. And so it does a great disservice to think, no, there's no creator, there's no God, there's no creation, it just happened. Therefore, we fail to give thanks to him. No honest person, I believe, can look at the intricacies and the details and the complexity of life on any scale, plants, animals, birds, fish, man, beast, whatever it is, microscopic things, look at the sky and see the stars and the galaxies, the universes. I mean, we've got tremendous pictures from satellites and so on to send it back. Nobody can look at all that and say, oh, that just happened by chance. Isn't that wonderful? You can't. Even when we're told by some people, well, look at the single-celled amoeba. That is so simple. Not. It is extremely complex. Even though it's one cell, it doesn't mean it's simple. And we can go beyond that. You cannot look at that and say, there was and is no creator. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 1. What may be known about God is plain to them because God made it plain to them. And here's the reasoning. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made. The creation. He's saying there is no reason under God's green earth, under heaven, why any human being, any point in time, can deny a creator because you just simply need to look at the creation itself. God made it plain to them that there simply is a God who made all things. Therefore, he deserves recognition. He deserves our thanksgiving in all sincerity. But is it really all that important? I mean, sometimes we forget to say thank you to people. Slough it off and go on, although it is important. It is important to God because there are consequences. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, there is a direct result of not giving thanks to God, recognizing who he is. Verse 18 is where it really begins, and it continues there. Verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Then he goes on, since what may be known about God is plain to them. So they suppress the truth from their wickedness. How is that truth suppressed? The truth is suppressed by not answering or teaching the truth about God, that there is a God, number one, that he is the creator, that he does exist, that he cares about us, that he provides for us, that he sustains everything in life 24/7. I don't know about you, but for a long time, I used to think God is involved, right? He's involved in almost everything. He's involved in the big things in life. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of everyday life in my life, all the little mundane things, whatever it may be, I'm not real sure how involved he is because he's got those big things to take care of. And maybe he's involved when I really cry and scream out to him in desperation. Then he comes. But that's not true. He's there all the time. Whether we call him or not, he is sustaining life 24/7. And we need to remember that and be reminded of that, that he sustains our world. He's not what the deist would say, God is the great watchmaker. He created everything. He wound it up with the energy and the laws of nature, then whooshed it off into space. And then he sits back in his comfy little heaven, and he watches, and nothing else. No intervention. He's not there. He just lets it tick until finally, what does your watch do? It winds down and ceases to exist and is dead. That's a deist perspective. Scripture says God is involved from the very beginning to the very end, on into eternity. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 14. He, God, the whole psalm is interesting. It was too long to read it all. He makes the grass grow for cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. And it goes on from there. Verse 27. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified, and when you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. He's talking about not only man, but all the creatures of the world. What does he say? He's the one that makes the grass grow so that there's food. He is intimately involved in everything that goes on in our world. Acts chapter 14. Beginning with verse 15. Acts 14:15. Man, why are you doing this? Wheaton, did I get the wrong one? Acts 14:15. I think that is right. Man, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, He let all nations go their way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crown from sacrificing to them. So Paul was telling these people, don't follow Zeus and the other gods, but let me tell you the true God who made all things and sustains them and gives us the seasons and so on and so forth. That's the God you need to worship and glorify and honor. And he has given us all the details that he exists by looking at our world. Failure to see God, failure to acknowledge him or recognize him as the creator, means that we do not give him thanks. Verse 21. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to them, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That is the beginning of the descent to depravity. Talk about a depraved mind. What does depravity mean? It refers to that which is corrupt, wicked, and perverted. And that moves to what is unnatural rather than natural in our thinking and our actions. So when you talk about people embracing what is right, calling it right, people acting in a very unnatural way, and they abandon that for things that are unnatural, it goes back to ignoring God, not giving him thanks, not recognizing him and his word, following his word, and we begin that descent down the road of depravity. No thanks to God. Today, we basically ignore him, curse him, and therefore he is not taught because he's denied. And that is probably why we have such a high rate of biblical illiteracy in our country. And so it is not just a depraved thinking, because I think that's what he says here. Yeah, but their thinking became futile. In the Greek, that word thinking is their mind. It's the word nous or nous. It's the mind, and it's more than just thinking. Because what's interesting is that word mind, which literally is translated understanding, intellect, or intelligent intuition, it's at the heart of metanoia. What is metanoia? It's a word for repentance. What does repentance mean? It means you have a change of mind. A change of mind resulting in personal transformation. It's not just changing your mind and continuing as we were. It's a change of mind that changes our action, our behavior, our words, and our thoughts. And that's what's at the heart of repentance, and that is what is invested in the word mind. And so it is not too far of a stretch at all. In fact, it's no stretch at all to see the mind as our worldview and as our convictions that dictates or directs our life. So if our mind is not centered on God's word or biblical worldview, where is it going to take us? It's going to take us down the wrong road of depravity. And if that wasn't bad enough, they continue to claim themselves to be wise. Verse 22. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. They claimed to be wise. Can't you just see them? Especially the leaders of the day. We're so smart in these policies that we're telling you to do. We're so smart in our churches that we're telling you all about God. And what are they telling them? Stupid things. Things that are not true. Things that are worldly and pagan. That's what they're telling them. And yet they're saying, aren't we the smart ones? Don't you see that today? People are saying, aren't we the smart ones? You see, a depraved mind in the Greek is basically saying they lack common sense. Do you know anybody that lacks common sense? You think we lack common sense as a civilization, kind of? Sure does. And then he says you become futile in your thinking. What does the word futile refer to? Refers to something that is ineffective, useless in reasoning. Ineffective, useless in reasoning. So the gray matter up here, for those who steer away from God, is useless in sound reasoning, and yet at the same time they say, we are wise in what we do. We are smart in what we do. And you need to follow us. And God is saying, That's why it goes on and he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. And there's a whole, that read that, man, there's a whole list of things that as a result of a depraved mind and dark thinking that ends up in wickedness and ungodliness and in ways of inventing things to work against God and so on and so forth. It's just a whole litany of things. So honoring and giving thanks is extremely important because it keeps us on course with who God is and that there is a God and that he is responsible for all that we have. Back in the first century, in the second century, in the third century, and so on, it was not easy to live. They didn't have all the comforts. It wasn't comfortable living. It wasn't easy living. It was difficult. And as a Christian, it was even more difficult because many of them were persecuted one way or another. And yet, what does Paul say to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? He says, anybody know? Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice that one little word, in. It's not for, but in. Give thanks in your circumstances. It's a far cry from saying, give thanks for your circumstances. Who wants to thank God for a tragic accident? But we can give thanks to God for who he is and that he is in whatever situation we are, knowing that he is going to oversee it and sustain us and get us through. If it would be different if we didn't have a God who is intimately involved and personally involved, why would you give him thanks? He's not there. God says, and Paul says, give thanks in every circumstance, whether it is painful or not, whether we understand it or not, it doesn't matter. Give thanks and don't complain. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because complaining is the first thing we do. But so after we're done complaining, we need to turn our attention to God and say, thank you. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. So we look past in our life. Remember what God has done for you. Give thanks to him for that. It keeps our mind sharp on who he is. Verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Again, he's saying, give thanks. It wasn't easy then. Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. What we try to do on Sunday morning. Daniel, it's a good one. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Remember Daniel, taken captive as a teenager to Babylon, to pagan people. He didn't rebel. He acquiesced on almost everything they asked him to do, unless it violated his faith in the word of God. He'd learned their language, their customs. God blessed him. He rose up in power. He had a great amount of influence. One of three administrators, and he was the best of the three. But people became jealous, naturally, and they plotted against him. And when the king issued a executive order that you must bow down, everybody must bow down and worship me as the king for the next 30 days or you die, what did Daniel do? Did he change? No. Did he cave into the fear? No. Did he have fear? I would think so. He's human like us. But what did he do? He went home. He went to his place of prayer like he did every day. How many times a day did he pray? Three times. And he got there with the windows open. Okay, he didn't crawl in his closet and shut the door so nobody sees him. Opened the windows. He knelt down and he prayed. And then the squad came and they investigated, well, let's see what Daniel's doing here because we need to trap him. And they saw him praying, and where did it get him? Lion's den. The lion's den. But of course, we know the rest of the story. He came out. But what did Daniel do when he went there to pray? It says very, very specifically, he prayed giving thanks to his God. Now, how many of us would go home knowing that you're going to die if you pray? And give thanks to God. Be more likely to complain. God, why didn't you stop this? I've been good to you. I have served you. I've done everything I possibly can in serving you and honoring you and giving everything. And this is what you do? You're going to send me to the hungry lions? Thanks. But no thanks. But Daniel said in his trust in God, thank you, Lord, in his difficult situation. This Thanksgiving, we need to cultivate deliberately, probably more than any other year, cultivate a mind of thanks, because this past year gives us plenty of reason to complain and to moan and to whine and to see all that is awful and perhaps looking into the future and how we have more reason to complain and whine. But in our circumstances, and particularly on Thursday, we need to cultivate a mind of thanks, because if we stop and think about it, other people around the world, we've got an awful lot to be thankful for. We're here. We're worshiping freely. Nobody's telling what we can't yet. Nobody is analyzing the messages. Nothing like that. We're here, free. You're healthy. You're well. You look fed, well fed. You all have clothes on. You all came in a car. We have a lot to be thankful for in this nation. Father in heaven, thank you so much for all that you provide. Help us to deliberately cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving and appreciation and gratitude, because it is so easy to go the other way. May it be focused upon you, the author and giver of everything. In Jesus' name, amen.